This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining. This is the WS2 Staff Accountability Meeting of 2 August 19 UTC. I believe it's our 24th meeting. First thing I'll do is go through the agenda, see if any more people join up, and then get into it. So, first part of the agenda is going through this stuff. Second part are the issues. We basically have, it says broad comments. It should be board comments regarding draft recommendation. Sorry about the typo. And then there's comments from the face-to-face session. What I did is I extracted the text relevant to staff accountability and put it in a file that's there. And I highlighted all the sections that looked like they were comments. And then if we get there, next steps. And I personally see this as probably a two-meeting agenda, but we'll see what goes on. Then the agenda includes the document update, to which there has been no change. There are some action items that we need to go through that came up in our previous discussion on the debrief. Schedule update needs to be looked at. And then there's the updated meeting schedule. So are there any issues or comments on the agenda, any changes I should make? Okay, then we'll go with that agenda. The next thing is on attendance. If there's anybody here that's just on the phone, please say something. Otherwise,
Jordan,
attendance. Okay, thank you, Jordan. Otherwise, the attendance will be taken from the Adobe room, though I do see Jordan listed in the Adobe room. We have apologies from Herb. And finally, wanted to remind people about their SOI check. If your material conditions in regard to ICANN change, you're asked to update your SOI and speak of it at the meeting. Has anybody's SOI changed since our last meeting? Okay, nope. In which case, we shall go on. Thank you. Just please remember to do that should you need to. Okay, in which case I'd like to go to the comments that George sent us. Did I send a PDF of those comments? I did. So George, I'm wondering, what I was thinking of doing is giving you a chance to introduce if you'd like. And then basically walking through bullet by bullet, giving you a chance to talk to it, and then giving others a chance to ask clarifying questions, discuss what have you. Does that seem like a workable way to do it to you?
Yeah, that's reasonable. But I think that there's probably some overarching comments that set the theme for the discussion. Go ahead.
So please, in which case, go ahead and start with your overarching theme comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. First of all, let me know, by the way, if I'm too loud or too faint on the chat. I think there's an overarching issue here, but first let me say that these comments come from a subset of the board caucus on WS2. What we've done in the board is to have probably about half the board, I don't know the exact number, of people who are involved in WS2 in one way or another or want to be involved in it, and they form what we call a board caucus, and we meet and we look at what the various working groups are doing, and we look for issues that maybe we can help with, et cetera. So a group of the board caucus got together and prepared these notes that I've sent to you last night and that you circulated to the members of the working group. The overarching theme is that we understand that there is a perception of a problem. That doesn't mean there isn't a problem, but there's certainly a perception of a problem, which varies according to who says something and is seen as potentially serious in some areas, not so serious in others. But we don't know, we don't have a good sense of the extent of that problem and the nature of that problem. And as a result of that, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to look at the recommendations and say, this solves the problem, when we don't really understand what the problem is. The recommendations are not lightweight. They're not extraordinarily heavyweight, but they can be, they could be significant. For example, simply defining an agreement, a formal agreement between staff and community is probably an exercise in governance that is a major and will lead to more work by more lawyers and more governance people than anything else. And so without the board, at least the caucus feels, how can we commit to agreeing with or questioning a set of recommendations in detail when we don't know what the problem is to be solved? And there's a conundrum here, because you have said, and I think I understand why you said it, that there are lots of issues that have been reported, so you know that people are having problems, but that you don't want to display any of them for fear of either invading privacy or starting arguments on specific issues or both. You have your reasons for not wanting to open your kimono to let us take a look and see exactly what you're hearing, and so that we can get an appreciation for the problem set and characterize it ourselves. But without that, we don't know what to do. And I want to repeat the offer that I made at the plenary in Johannesburg, and that was, you define a safe space so that we can jointly look at these problems, so that we can understand them and get a sense of their structure, and as a result, be able to say things about the recommendations that make sense to us based upon our better knowledge of what that problem space is. So that's the major thrust of this. And I think that you'll find the bullets echo that, most of them in one way or another. That is, we need to know more. And what I fear is that exchanging pieces of paper or discussing this in open sessions like this one is not going to work, because you don't want to do it, and we understand why you don't want to do it. It won't help solve the problem, no matter how much we try to do it using this methodology. So we would really would like to consider the possibility of having a session with which we are in a safe space and we can discuss, understand, categorize, structure, and the problem problems, and figure out how best to deal with them and the extent to which the recommendations you make address them squarely. Thanks. That's the overarching issue. And I think I raised this to some extent in the last working group meeting I was part of, and I tried to raise it in this way in the plenary session. This is a fuller exposition than in the past. Is it helpful? What do you think?
Okay, this is Aubrey speaking. I'd like to give people a chance to comment on that. I have to admit, there may be people that don't quite understand expressions like open our kimono. I do believe those items were discussed. There were even comments sent, at least one of the letters, to the board. So I must admit, I'm not sure what you mean about giving you more information. And I guess I would also ask, what do you mean by a safe space? I got Klaus with his hand up, so please, Klaus.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry that I'm late for the meeting, but I had, after reading the letter this morning, I made an appointment with my legal counsel. and to discuss what would be actually possible legally to say or not. And I've been strongly advised not to put any cases and names on the table, even in the closed settings, because these are still would be legally relevant. I still think that some of the issues used and mentioned in the letter are perfectly viable, and we will have to find ways to discuss it and to answer it. But I just want to remind you to one of the solutions I put forward in the last meeting. If we could actually generate something like an accountability checklist, which basically community and staff could go through in every issue and actually look at and say, this is, did we do that, didn't we do that, did we fail to do that, did we do it right, or did we do it wrong? That might be one way forward. I sent an email with some with a rudimentary draft beginnings of such a checklist to AFRI, and I just would say put that forward as a possible solution. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Klaus, and I apologize that I was slow to respond on it. I responded only during my prep time for this meeting today, and certainly am willing to, you know, put those points that you listed in a drive document for all to see if you're comfortable doing that. I wasn't sure that you were comfortable doing that, so I have delayed doing so, but my response to you was too late. One question I would have for you is the issue, if I understand it, and I do want to go through the issues one by one. The issue, as I understood it, was that our causes, our issues, were not accepted. And thus, I'm not sure how the checklist, which is a solution, would deal with the issue of our issues not being credible to the board. Jordan, please.
Thanks, Aubrey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, everyone. It's Jordan Carter here. It's LNZ. I'm a participant in this group, and I was once a core rapporteur, and now, unfortunately, I'm a co-chair. But these comments are just as a participant of this group. And I've got a couple to make. First of all, George, thank you for getting the input through to us. It's helpful to kind of get something in writing rather than verbally and have a chance to think about it. The second point I'd make, I guess, is that it seems to me the approach the group has taken is in some cases a problem-solving one, kind of responding to specific historical incidents. And in some cases it's been a normative one. Some issues have been identified, but also kind of a picture of what it feels like a great staff accountability settlement that kind of supported an accountable ICANN would look like. And that's where I see the more sort of process adjusting recommendations coming from. For example, one of the ones about including community feedback rigorously in staff performance management. I'm not aware of any problems that have driven that, but it just seems to me anyway in the drafting work as an example of something that would be good practice for a community-facing organization. So my fear is that it almost feels like there's a hang-up on the evidencing point. Like if there's no problem to fix that is not accepted by examining shared evidence that it is a problem, then we're not going to consider the solution. And I think that's a working method that has a lot of merit to it, but doesn't allow for a comprehensive input from the community through the CCWG process on what we would like this to look like. So I guess that's something to have a bit of a think and a ponder about. So I don't think anyone's saying that this group can't work like that. I don't know that our written report reads like that was what we were trying to do, and that might be a part of the issue. It may be that an update needs to just say that more bluntly, as well as trying to address some specific challenges. We were trying to cast forward to what a great settlement would look like for an accountable, community-driven organization like ICANN aspires to be. And the third point, I guess, I just want to make is that way back in, Copenhagen, and even Hyderabad, Avery and I, as co-rapporteurs, did a kind of ask for the safe space thing. We wanted to have an upfront, quiet discussion with the ICANN management at a relevant level to co-create a set of recommendations that everyone could live with. And I just have to express my disappointment that the organization hasn't been interested in doing that. Instead, the steer that we've had is that people have found this to be a threatening and unhelpful process, and that's really disappointing because I don't think it's anyone's intention. So we tried to ask that safe space getting close to a year ago, and for it to now come up again, it isn't a problem because it needs to be part of the framework. But what would be hugely preferable would be for this sort of set of changes to be almost generally agreed, these are nice hygiene improvements and they resolve some specific problems that we know about. Let's get on with it as part of building the ICANN we want to see in the future. Anyway, that's my kind of general comments. Thanks, Avery. Paul.
Thank you, Jordan. This is Avery again. Alan, you're next. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to expand a little bit on some of the things Jordan was saying. There are some classes of things we could identify that are very specific and very generic. You know, if I send an email to ICANN staff, I shouldn't be 3 weeks later still waiting to find out did they even receive it or not. I should get an answer back within a day, 2 days, whatever a reasonable expectation is, at least saying it's received and we'll get back to you in 2 weeks or whatever the thing is. So some of these we can be very specific. But I think the real core issue is there is clearly a level of dissatisfaction in the volunteer community that we are not getting the level of service or the level of respect, whatever the applicable thing is, from ICANN staff. Now, either our expectations are really out of line, in which case we need to make sure that what our expectations should be, or there are some adjustments that need to be made. And I think all this group can really do is suggest some nominal changes that seem to make sense, and then a commitment from ICANN, both the board and senior management, to keep on talking about this and working through these issues. I don't think we're going to have the definitive answer in this working group, at least not as long as I want it. I don't want to be part of this working group long enough to get the definitive answer. But I think we need to fix the issues that we can identify moderately quickly. And Jordan mentioned one of them, participation in staff reviews. When we've mentioned that to senior management, we get a visceral reaction saying they report to staff, they can't report to volunteers. And we've never asked for them to report to volunteers. We just want to be able to input into the process. So I think some of them can be addressed quickly. Some are really going to be long-term endeavors that we simply need a commitment from ICANN that they are interested in understanding what the issues are and then remedying them as we can analyze them well enough to see what the generic pattern is, as opposed to fixing the one management issue that we can identify in each case, or one performance issue. I think the safe space is interesting. It's only going to get anecdotal type things, but those may be generalizable to put solutions in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Avery again. In terms of the safe space, I still wonder why would the safe space be one that didn't have the same retaliatory dangers that speaking in the group earlier or such would have had, but I'll be interested to hear that. Alan, is that a new hand again? And Jordan, is that a new hand or is that a remnant?
It's Alan. I was going to answer the question you just asked.
Okay, thank you. Please, Alan.
I think, whether I will be more open in any given group depends on how much I trust the individuals in that group and can rely on them, number one, not going and immediately asking the person, why did you do that to Alan? And number two, understanding that these are anecdotal and we're not trying to fix the problem that happened 3 months ago, but we're trying to make sure they don't happen on a regular basis again. So it's going to be really a matter of trust among the people and how well the ICANN board staff people that participate can generate a feeling of trust among the people to allow people to open up a little bit more. Very, very subjective.
Thank you. Thank you. Jordan, please.
Yeah, thanks, Avery. It is a new hand. Sort of on that, why would a safe space be even safer? I think it is about confidence building. I mean, I guess I'm lucky. I have no compliance obligations with ICANN. I'm not a contracted party. And in my experience of the ICANN staff, it's been exemplary. The kind of support we've had through this accountability process has been amazing, pretty much all the way through. And any issues have been through overwork, not through anything else. But I think that part of building that trusted, more trusted community where there are gaps is just about some of the transparency of processes here. So it's hard to say, I mean, George, I don't think this would be helpful for you or anyone else if you said that one of the issues is some parts of the ICANN community lack some trust in some parts of the ICANN organization, and to resolve that, some sort of hygiene process improvements in the HR and performance system might help, and these are the recommendations, because would we then get into a discussion about, well, like, what's the evidence to that? How do we know that there's a trust problem, blah, 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 blah. So I hope that just provides a bit more context to what I said before.
Thank you, Jordan. This is Alfred again. Yes, and I want to reiterate that personally I don't have any issues with staff, and pretty much what I believe I've been carrying is the evidence that was put in our mailing lists and in our early meetings. So just to indicate that on a personal level, other than the fact that it's been really hard to get people to have permission to participate in this group, I certainly haven't had any issue with staff in quite a number of years. Okay, I see no new hands on that, and perhaps it would be good to walk through now the specific. Yes, George. Oh, okay. And I was going to ask George to walk through this issue specifically. I see his hand up. George, please.
Thank you. I want to go back to some of the things that have been brought up by Jordan and Ellen. And I think this is a pretty positive conversation so far. Jordan, you said, I've been taking notes and I think I have it right, what you were arguing for was an upfront, quiet discussion with ICANN management and a disappointment that hasn't been done. In effect, that's what I think I'm suggesting. I'm calling it a discussion in a safe space, whether it's with management or a combination of management board or even management board outsiders. I don't know. It's the discussion which will help us identify and categorize the problem space. Here's some issues. We know, I'm a board member, and I've been told by somebody who's not a board member that we on the board don't understand how the difference between the way we're treated and the way in which there's interaction between the staff and the community members. I'm sure there's a difference, and I think the staff treats us too well, in fact. They're very attentive to our demands, and I wish that they treated us more like equals rather than a superior level of life form, which I think they sometimes do. So I'm aware that we are not likely to pick up the same vibes as community members are, and that's okay. But we need to. That's why one of the reasons that we need to look at evidence that is brought by community members, because we are not affected by those behaviors. Let me give you an example of a couple of questions, large questions that define the space. Are the problems that are being had clustered? In other words, are they in one department? Are they with respect to one substantive area or a few substantive areas? Or are they random? Are they all over the place? It makes a big difference how we deal with problems like that depending on which of those two alternatives seems to be the case. Are they systemic? Are they random? That's really important, and we don't have a good sense of that. Are they in particular individuals who are involved? We don't have a good sense of that. The fixes for those different kinds of problems are different. So let's see. Then, Alan, you said, I think you characterized the situation fairly well. You said, well, I don't want to have to wait 3 weeks for a response. Okay, that's fair. And so maybe something like Klaus's accountability checklist has some place in the various remedies to whatever problems we find. An accountability checklist, however, is not a service level agreement. And a service level agreement would involve a lot more, including presumably penalties for not living up to the service and so on. So maybe the accountability checklist is something that should be considered. But it's not going to solve the problems, because if the problems are endemic in the structure or the resource load or the people or subjects, accountability checklists are just going to be checked off, and there will be an argument about whether the check should have been made or not. Alan, you said, let's see if I've got it right. You said it's a matter of trust whether you would open up, the extent to which you would open up. And by the way, opening the kimono means sharing things that are more central and more particular to the argument. It's being more frank, being more open, showing more evidence. I guess that's a cultural reference. So
George Sherrill here. I think we all know what it means. It's just many of us are offended by it, both sexist and racist. Certainly a term that many of the Australian financial journals have suggested is not used, and I would agree with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Ellen, you mentioned the issue of trust, and I agree with you. You're going to say things that are more relevant to the situation the more you trust the people with whom you're talking. And I agree with that, and therefore, that's what I mentioned in Johannesburg. I said, if you want to save space to talk about these problems, and so we can define the space, you define the safe space. Who do you want? Presumably you want at least somebody from the ICANN staff or management. You may want somebody from the board, but it's a matter of individuals. Why don't you suggest how that safe space should be defined? So let's see. I think that's all I've got that I remember being relevant for the discussion. Do you want to respond to any of that?
Thank you, George. Let me see if anyone does. I do want to repeat something that Jordan said, is that we did indeed, at the beginning, we've tried twice. Once we just invited, with the CEO's permission, staff members to join this group. That was a failure. Then we negotiated certain conversations with Patrick, who was sort of given to us as sort of a representative. And instead of ending up with joint discussions with senior staff, Jordan and I did each have discussions with some of the staff, but never the whole group. And the other thing I did want to mention is that in addition to the issues listed in the report, there were certain letters sent, some of which were copies of letters that had been sent to the board, and that's the one that led to the recommendation on SLAs and such. So I think there was a lot of what you're asking for. In terms of the safe space, we did try to define it, and we failed twice. So I'm not sure what we do now, but that's okay. I see no other hands came up.
Aubrey.
Yes.
Sorry, this is Jordan. I'm away from my computer, so I can't raise my hand. But can I raise my hand?
Please, Jordan. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, no, I just wanted to sort of add on that point about the safe space thing. Is if there's going to be – there's an interlock here, right, of cultural stuff, of governance expectations, of a kind of I hate to use the word, but a kind of political commitment on the organization's part to really demonstrate that it wants to be accountable. And the people who can make, who can be useful interlocutors in that, people who are useful to talk about it with, are the board senior leadership and the chief executives. And that's who needs to be participating in that. I am a chief executive, right? And I know that if people started engaging with staff who worked for me about staff accountability to our community, I would be a little bit confused, a bit nervous about it, and possibly a bit angry about it, because it's like, hang on, I'm the guy who's responsible here. Joran has made it very clear that he feels responsible for his staff and for looking after them. If there's going to be any kind of honest and open discussion, he needs to be part of it.
Okay, good point. Thank you, and I appreciate that. With regard to the two initiatives that failed, the first one was an open invitation to staff, I gather, to join the group, and I think that would, I don't know what that would have resulted in if staff members had taken you up on it. I don't know why they did, why they didn't. Maybe they were told not to. Maybe they were encouraged to and didn't have the time. That's in the past. But one thing that I think would have blocked a meaningful dialogue there is that it would have been out in the open. And it's very difficult, as you know, and you've decided not to talk about details. If staff came in and talked about details, it would probably be even worse. And they would be very reluctant to. They would probably not want to. So that I'm not sure that would have caused anything to happen in the way of resolving the what I think is one of the major fundamental issues here. So suppose you were to ask again and to say, look, we want to have a conversation in a safe space. We want to convince you that these problems are real, and we want to explore with you, whoever the you are in the safe space, we want to explore with you what the problems are and what their structure is. Are they random? Are they concentrated? Are they behavioral? Are they structural? Are they, what are they? Are they financial? Are they psychological? Whatever. And so that we can get a good handle on how to eliminate them and put into place mechanisms that make sure that they don't recur. Suppose you were to do that. I'm not making this suggestion as a board member. I can't, because I don't know. The board hasn't agreed on this, but I would argue as an individual that that would be a very productive thing to do under the current circumstances.
Thank you, George. This is Aubrey speaking, and I should remember to say that always, because otherwise it doesn't show up in the captioning. They don't necessarily recognize our voices and put it in. So I need to ask all of us to put our names in the first couple words of what we utter. One of the things that I'm going to be doing, and you'll see if you look at the table that I put out, is for each of the items to get someone in the group to volunteer to work on presenting a solution to it. And I'm sure that your proposal of some way to have a safe space, including Jordan's recommendation that a safe space would need to include the CEO, be looked at and be discussed. So now, seeing no more hands, I would like to walk through each of your issues, and I don't know whether you want to speak to them or you would just like me to read them into the record and then ask for hands. I'm willing to go either way.
Aubrey, this is George. And what I suggest is that you go through them point by point. I don't think I want to speak to them, because I think the major issue is the one we've been talking about, and these are mostly corollaries. So if I'm right, then you should you can address questions to them. We have staff on the call who can answer some of them. I can answer some of them, and we can go on. But I'd rather do it that way.
Thank you, George. So I will read them point by point, and then I'll stop and see if there are any comments, questions, answers, what have you. Issue one, clarity on the issue of a safe zone is needed, including in the context of 1A, whether the newly established complaint office serves this role. In relation to 1B, staff reporting of concerns is in internal HR-related manner. However, there is an important issue here for the community in relation to community, including SOAC, accountability. Input is welcome on how I can coordinate with the community to make sure that misbehavior towards staff is identified and treated appropriately within the community. So that was bullet one, and I wonder if anybody has questions, clarifications, comments on that. I see Jordan has to leave the Adobe room. Sorry. I will ask a clarifying question. Staff reporting of concerns is an internal human resources related matter. If I understand correctly, if a staff member has problems with a community member, they go to human resources for it. Is that what it stated? And that there's no, and then what happens? I'm curious.
I don't think I can tell you. This is George again. Human resources obviously has a part to play, and in all concerns regarding individuals. Patrick or Teresa, do you want to comment on
Patrick
this?
Patrick has his hand up.
This is Patrick. I can clarify as best as I can, but you're correct in that if for example, I feel like I'm a victim of a violation of professional standards or our behaviors of standards as the community has defined them, my responsibility in that case would be then to alert my manager, just as I would if I was in any organization having any kind of an issue. And then from there, it's my manager's responsibility to alert HR, and HR is the internal place where we're able to identify if there are patterns and trends, et cetera. And then HR has its appropriate protocols and procedures that it works through up through that group, including the senior most HR manager and the CEO. And so we have those internal mechanisms on that side, so that's not necessarily an issue of concern for this group. However, it might be in part of the area of the recommendations that the group is thinking through as far as just the general increasing awareness and understanding of what systems are in place as more of a transparency issue as opposed to creating a net new mechanism.
Thank you, Patrick. And thank you for explaining that path. I think there was also a desire to be able to solve problems before they had necessarily escalated all the way to the CEO, through the board, and then back down to the community. So I think that was one of the reasons for suggestions of finding easier paths, but thank you for explaining that path. Does anyone else have a comment? Okay, seeing no others, I will go to reading the second bullet, which relates to issue three. The overall culture of the IGAN organization is less focused on supporting the community's work than it should be. Clarification of specific examples would be helpful to determine whether these are isolated cases or systemic, period. I believed that in some of the evidence we had seen that it was more than one or two isolated impressions and such, but it's a good question. Would anybody like to comment on it?
I would. Jordan here.
Please, Jordan.
Thanks. I think this is one of the ones where there's like a
chicken and egg situation about validating the concern. And this is one of the issues to which the recommendation about increasing the kind of analysis surveys and so on would really help, because that would provide time over time an evidence basis whether this is a real concern or not. So that's where the sort of, if we can't validate the issue, some of our recommendations are designed to validate or not validate an issue over time. It may be that there is a perfectly great culture and that the complaints are infinitesimal. The complaints officer might help suss that out, but so would actually directly asking the community and monitoring the responses over time.
Thank you. George, please.
Yeah, thanks. This is George. Yeah, Jardin, I think I agree with most of what you said. And I want to stress that our pushback on this, which is it's not pushback as much as it is concern. We want to push back on the recommendations because we don't understand the problem. We are not we're not pushing against the community. The board and I believe the staff has the sense that they want ICANN to be a success. We would like to have nothing better than a completely harmonious set of relationships between all parties, although I suspect that's not possible given human nature. But we want to do it we want to get there as close to that as we can. And this whole dialogue is meant to what we believe is to get to a result where we can have a much better situation in working together. We could have said, I suppose we could have said, let the recommendation stay. We're not going to look at the problem. That, in our view, would not have been responsible, and it would have led to a worse result overall. So these discussions that we're having, the fact that the board caucus group, WS2 caucus group, excuse me, is concerned about this and that I'm concerned about it and speaking here, should be taken as evidence that we want to have a good result from this entire discussion, and we want to work with you to achieve it. Thanks.
Thank you, George, for that. Would anybody else like to comment on this bullet before I move on? Okay, and thank you for the time check. Okay, the next one was issue 4, which states there is no institutionalized route for community feedback to be included in staff performance and accountability system, end quote. Feedback related to the organization's accountability should go to the organization and the complaints office is the most appropriate mechanism through which these concerns can be expressed. This issue is an example of an issue posed without explanation of what is trying to be solved for. End of point. I want to add a couple comments on this. This is Avery. First of all, one of the issues that had been brought up had to do with performance, and it had to do with sort of the equivalent of the community's SOIs. There was a certain amount of concern. Again, it can only be a concern. There's been no substantiated facts that perhaps some of the performance factors that people were judged on were based on reaching certain conclusions, within a certain amount of time, et cetera. So that was one thing. The other thing was, and if you look at the staff performance handbook that HR chief was gave, it actually includes community opinion, community point of view in that review. It calls it out. So really what this was doing was saying there are concerns. People want to say good stuff. They want to say worrisome stuff. They want to understand what the motivations are, because quite frequently we get excellent recommendations from staff members on how to solve the problems we're facing in the community, how to deal with a particular issue, how to get something done. And those are excellent, and we want to trust them. But then there are people that worry about the source sometimes of those recommendations. So being able to have a conversation with the managers of people during their twice yearly review cycle would be a useful thing. And that was the thinking that came from that. The staff document on performance reviews is within our set of reference documents, and in fact it was indeed referred to in the discussion. So just wanted to give that background on that question. Yes, please, Alan.
Thank you. This is one I really don't understand. We throw around the expression 360 reviews in ICANN, and sometimes they're 360, sometimes they're 270, sometimes they're 180. We use the term 360, and it covers a whole set of different types of evaluation processes. But the terminology means we should be getting input from all who have input into the performance of this person. In a business environment, that often means your managers and the people who work for you. In other environments, it means your customers. How do you evaluate a sales representative without getting any feedback at all from the people that they're dealing with? And I don't understand the resistance to wanting to get input from the people that in many cases are literally being served by these staff. And how can you evaluate them without asking that question? Now, how much weight you put to the answers and how much you raise your eyebrows at the comments, that's a different issue. But not even wanting the input, I just find so at variance with the concept of an open, transparent organization and the desire to serve the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Avery,
can I put my hand up? Yes, Jordan. Okay, so I've got George, Patrick, and then Jordan.
Okay.
George.
I think I'll let Patrick go first.
Okay, thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, George. This is Patrick. I just wanted to make an observation here as one of the other, I think, overarching tension points on this topic in particular, and we've discussed this, I think, back in Copenhagen as well, is when accountability is at the individual employee level versus the department or service level where management and leadership would take accountability for those things. And I think feedback is good, and there are the mechanisms that have been articulated by the complaints office or the CEO or any number of other mechanisms. I think that the place that we're getting a little bit of tension and potential pushback is where we're blurring the lines between I'm dissatisfied with the accountability of the service from X department versus so-and-so isn't treating me right, and I'd like to lodge a complaint or weigh in on that. In something that is much more formal and official, aka a performance review. So I just put that to the group to be mindful of this as we continue to work through these areas of where we've decided staff accountability is really organization accountability versus the inverse where we talk about SOAC accountability that's not necessarily as charged as if we were to phrase that one as volunteer community member accountability, where you get a little bit more personal and the natural instincts tend to rise up. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. George, is it okay if I go to Jordan and then Alan and then come back to you, or would you like to speak now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Put me at the end.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. So I have Jordan now.
Thanks, Aubrey. Sorry about the noise. It's Jordan here. I'm on a bus now, so might be a bit of rattling or engine noise. The point I was going to make about this one is that I don't want to have to go to the complaints office to give praise to a staff member that's taken into account in their performance review. Like, I think that the ICANN document, as Avery mentioned, already kind of implies that this is done. This recommendation may end up being nothing more than publicizing the fact that, you know, the organization intends to get feedback from people who are outside the direct set of staff lines when they're doing people's reviews, and that would be to everyone's benefit. You know, the weighting of those comments, you know, if someone is a known community difficulty, provides difficult feedback, that'll be taken into account in the appropriate way. You know, eyes will be rolled and things will move on. But it's just, I really don't understand the idea of the complaints office being the right response where saying include this feedback in a review is the wrong response. And I just want to say thank you to Patrick for the example he raised as well, because there's no way that any of this should be allowed to turn into a holding individuals to account for the organization's performance as a whole. That we need to be careful to make sure that doesn't happen. Thanks.
Thank you. Jordan Allen, please.
Thank you. This recommendation, as I see it, is not about holding the group accountable. It's simply making sure that the people who are in a position to make decisions have access to all the information they need to make that decision. So that's part number one. There's a lot of things that I could say about people that are negative that do not rise to the level of me filing a complaint. It's a huge disparity. And as Jordan pointed out, sometimes we might want to say something good. Now, I've written on occasion letters praising employees, but I don't take the time to do it very often. It doesn't happen, you know, every day. And yet there are lots of people who I think deserve that level of feedback to be incorporated into their process. And lastly, service may be a commitment of the organization, but it's delivered by individuals. And we use the word anecdotal when we were talking about the safe space. And it's very much an issue here also. This is really about making sure that people understand what is going on when they're judging their employees, and the managers are the ones who have to do that. And I'll add one more thing that's relevant to this. It's not quite the same issue. In ICANN, people get a significant part of their salary based on performance in certain areas. We don't know what they are being paid for. You know, I've had questions in my area and at large that I really want to know what someone is being compensated for, because when staff are supporting one activity well or not supporting another activity, they may have a financial reason for doing that. And not knowing that adds a whole level of blur to this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Patrick, your hand is still up, but I'm assuming that's a remnant. If it's not, please. And George, you took your hand down, so I assume that you have anything you wanted to add. No, you do. Please, 3 minutes left for this meeting.
Well, exactly, and that's why I took my hand down, because I have a hard stop at 4 and you need to close the meeting.
Okay, thank you. We'll be continuing this at our next meeting. So I think I'm going to recommend that we stop here after issue 4. Our next meeting I have it here. It's in the agenda. It's the 9th of August. And then after the 9th of August, I'm going to be away on both a retreat with an employer with APC and going to a friend's wedding. So I won't be able to do a meeting for the rest of the month, and the next meeting would be the 30th of August. I have put all of the bullets from the, I suppose I should call it the board caucus, note to us in the table, and I sent you all the table. I put a comment in there on volunteer. And what I'm basically asking, especially since I'm now a solo rapporteur, though I constantly think of Jordan as sort of a shadow co-rapporteur, at least until we find another one, that people take up the issues. And I also included the issues from the from the record of the ICANN discussion, that if people would take one or two of these issues and perhaps group them and sort of do a analysis of how we can deal with them. Now, we do have the one recommendation for some sort of quiet space meeting or safe space meeting. I guess it wouldn't necessarily be a quiet space, but a safe space meeting, which we need to look at further. So I'll add that to the list. But if people can sort of help by sort of picking up some of these issues and developing them a little and doing more work on them, and at our next meeting, we'll continue through these bullets and into the ones that were picked up in the conversation, so that hopefully we can redo the document in such a way that it will be allowed to be called a first reading, and we have some chance of completing our work on what is becoming an ever stricter schedule. So with that, I don't know that anybody else have a quick bit of any other business that needed to get in. If not, and I hear nothing, I see nothing, I thank you all for this meeting, for attending, for participating, and I'll talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.